Genesis chapter 4, amen, and verse 9. And the Lord said to Cain, "Where is Abel thy brother?" And he said, "I know not. Am I my brother's keeper?" First book of the Old Testament, Genesis chapter 4, verse 9. "I know not, am I my brother's keeper?" And we go to 2 Corinthians over in the New Testament. 2 Corinthians. Amen. After you get through with Romans, you're going to run up on Corinthians. Amen. After you get through with Acts, you're going to run up on Romans, you're going to run up on Corinthians. And 2 Corinthians, the second letter, verse 10 says, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in the body according to that he has done, whether it be good or bad." Amen. And that was chapter 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10, and we'll read it again from the screen momentarily. 2 Corinthians 5, 10, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he has done, whether it be good or bad." And then the last book of the Bible, Revelation. Some people say Revelation's plural, but it's really singular. The Revelation, John got one revelation and many unveilings in that. This book of Revelation, the revelation he got on the Isle of Patmos in verse chapter 20, and verse 15, last verse of that chapter, chapter 20, "And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." Amen. Amen. And as we look at the screen, "And whosoever," let's say it one more time. Amen. Amen. That verse, and we may get to these other verses. Let us read. "For we must..." Amen. And then Genesis 4, 9, read. Amen. So we're talking about Christian accountability. Amen. Christian accountability. Amen. Amen. Can everybody say Christian accountability? Christian accountability. Amen. That's what we want to focus on this morning, is Christian accountability. That's where we're led. And so I follow the Spirit, and that's what he gave me. And so I share it here this morning. Amen. Because so many people, only all they think about is the here and now. Amen. That is all that they think about, is the here and now. Amen. Praise the Lord. That's all they think about. Amen. I didn't get a chance to get that to the AB team, amen. We try it one more time. Oh yeah, yeah. That's all they think about, is the here and now. And they should be thinking about the now and later. Nothing wrong with now, but you ought to think about later as well. And so that's why accountability is so important. It keeps you from just not thinking about the here and now. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. So you may be seated. Can we say Christian accountability? Here and now. Now and later. Amen. Praise God. Thank God for this AB team as well. Amen. Amen. It has been said that the mouse will play when the cat is away. Amen. But it may not be that the cat's away. It may just be he's asleep on the other side of the wall. This allows us to come up with this thinking. We get the belief of out of sight, out of mind, because you cannot see God. So it tends to keep us from holding ourselves accountable, leaving us void of practical Christian living, leaving a vacancy in consistent Christian behavior, leaving us without Christian accountability. Amen. When we think about accountability, it simply means that we are to take responsibility for your actions. Amen. Be accountable. That's what God is calling us to do. We have to be accountable. And what are we accountable to? We are accountable to truth. Amen. You can be, amen. When the truth comes, we must allow the truth to have the last word. You ever heard anybody argue with the truth? Amen. Amen. You go on arguing and arguing and arguing and arguing. Amen. Amen. You must be willing to, we must be willing to hold ourselves accountable to the truth, because you can't defend yourself against the truth. The truth, you think you are having the last word, but the reality is what truth says. And this is so critical here this morning for us to understand how important that this really, really is. Amen. The understanding we must have is that there will be a day of reckoning. There will be a day of reckoning. Amen. Our past, amen, well, I guess I could say it this way. The thing about our past is our past will be dealt with in our future. Our past will be dealt with in our future. Not talking about our sins when it comes to Christians, but when he's talking about our service. I'm not talking about our birth, but our behavior. Amen. I'm not talking about our being forgiven by God, but I'm talking about our faithfulness to God. Amen. There will be a day of reckoning, and therefore we must stay on our P's and Q's. Amen. Amen. Since our past will be dealt with in our future as Christians, because of that, we must stay on our P's and Q's. Amen. 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 Our past will be dealt with in our future. That is the aim of our sermon, for us to stay on our P's and Q's. Amen. Amen. This is something that we must never, ever forget, because the Bible says that we must stay on our P's and Q's, because when we die, and Christians only die one time, by the way. Amen. We die one time, but we're born two times. Amen. I wish I'd have brought my paperwork. Amen. Amen. So you can sign up for the Christian Jubilee. But the truth of the matter is that we only die one time, but it says Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord. Henceforth, says the Spirit, they rest from their work, their labor, but their works do follow them. Oh, no. Amen. Don't you wish you could get away from your past? Oh, your past keep following you around. If you're not, you don't get your past expunged, then they will continue to follow you. If you don't get your erased, God is able to erase. He has a big eraser. Amen. Do you need anything erased? Amen. And if you don't, your works are going to follow you. Now, they're going to follow Christians in their service, but it won't follow them in their sins. So we must allow this sermon to do whatever God is trying to do with the sermon. Amen. Because that is something that is very important. Amen. Amen. And so John here, the revelation, the apocalypse in the Greek, the unveiling, the revealing, unveiling, the book of the Revelation is filled with apocalyptic literature, where it's a lot unveiled. It is filled with symbolic language, amen, where it things, symbols, and dealt with poetic language. It deals with rhythmic themes as you study through the book. It deals with even prose on some occasion. It is the God's way of allowing imagery to be put into the mind for things that the words can't always put into place. So we allow imagery. And so these things are formed in our minds and our heads so that we may be able to get a glimpse of the reality of it. And many times it's deeper even than the symbolism. Oh, Lord, have mercy. And so it even goes beyond the symbolic language. And so John writes, and he says, I'm in Revelation chapter 20, verse 11, about the great white throne judgment. This is the judgment for the unsaved. Potentially there may have been some saved in it when you start looking at the millennial, those who may have been, who died saved in the millennial, but this is, but their name would have been put in the book of life, but which we'll look at later. But he's saying that John says, you see, there's going to be a great white throne. Amen. It's a big throne. It's a white throne. Amen. It's a throne. It's big, it's white, and it's a throne. It's great. It's a whole lot of it. It's a lot of the white represents a holiness, purity, righteousness. And how do you know God got a whole lot of it? It's a great throne. He has a great white throne. It represents judgment. It represents accountability. It represents authority. And God was the one who was doing the judging. It says, are you ready for the great white throne? This is just for the unsaved people who's going to be here. It says, and him that sat on it, whose faith the earth and heavens fled away. Amen. That's that imagery we was talking about. Amen. That is that poetic language, how something flees away. Amen. When the holiness of God shows up, the earth and heaven have to disappear because in a sin-cursed, polluted world, amen, God does not allow it to exist in his presence, which is why it has to be made over. Amen. I hope I get to the message. The truth of the matter is that there was no more place for them, because there was, you know, when you start looking at the rapture of the church, the tribulation, when you start looking at the millennial reign of Christ, when you start looking at the battle of Armageddon, and you start coming to the great white throne judgment, and we can go forever on these whether the Battle of Gog and Magog, which depicts sin and Satan. But when you get to the great white throne, that's not necessarily chronologically based on what view you have, but when you get to the great white throne, what you find is you find God now judging, and it says that there was no more place for them. Amen. This judgment takes place actually in midair. It's a kind of a strange thing. We don't always understand or able to understand all this language. And he said, and I saw the dead, small and great, in verse 12, stand before God. Amen. And of all walks of life, amen, of all ranks of life, people coming to this holy throne, amen. And it is, they approached this throne. He saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. Amen. And when you stand in the courtroom, you're getting ready to be sentenced, unless the judges, after the judges walked in. When you stand for the verdict, you're standing. And so there's a depiction of standing there before God. And we know that Jesus and God are the judge because they're one. And John 5:22, I believe it is, says God has commended all judgment to the Son. Amen. And then something else happened. He says that, and the books were open. Amen. Amen. And there was another book open, and which is the book of life. The God is keeping books. Amen. Amen. God is keeping books. God is keeping records. God is keeping our deeds are recorded. It says the books were open. And the, you know, you can ask whether this is talking about why are these books open? These books are open, my brothers and sisters, because, and again, here we are talking about the unsaved, and the books are open on the unsaved. It's not about, is it about what they do, or it's not about what they have done? It's not about, it's not open to see if they've done enough to earn salvation, because you don't spell salvation do, you spell salvation done. It's by grace, right? So these works are not for, that's not why the books are open, but the books are open because, and we may not like this, there are degrees of punishment. Everybody is not going to be judged the same way, saint or ain't. Whether you're a saint or whether you ain't, I hate to use that kind of language, amen. But because if you notice, Satan was thrown in verse number 10, the beast and the false, where the beast and false prophet are. That's a certain portion. It's speaking about proportionality of hell, and the same thing for heaven, which we may get to. And we can't figure all that out, and we don't have to, because God is the judge, and he'll do it right. But there are certain portions of hell that some will be in versus others. And there are degrees of punishment. When you look at Luke chapter 12, verse 47 and 48, he says some will be whipped with many stripes. Some will be whipped with few stripes. Some of those... that's true both of the saved and the unsaved. He said, so the books were open to see what they have done, so it would determine the degree of their punishment. And it says, which is, but there was another book open, which is the book of life. That's the paperwork I wanted to bring. Amen. Put some paperwork on that, Jessica, and just say, I believe and I receive. Amen. And I'll sign it as his representative, and you have some paperwork. You'll have it in writing. I believe Jesus died for me, and I receive his Holy Spirit. You see, the problem with a lot of folk, they believe, but it's not enough. You got to receive. If there ain't no receiving, you didn't get saved. That's why some folk get saved, and they stay the same. They didn't receive nothing. The devils believe and tremble, but they're not going to heaven. They believe in God. They know there's a God. They told Jesus. They said, we know who you are. Amen. My wife told me I'm going to have to be quick on this. Amen. I'm trying to. If I start coughing too much, I'm going to leave out. We know who you are, the devil said. The Bible says, James tells us that the devils believe and tremble. Let me move on. You got to do more than believe. You have to receive the Holy Spirit when you believe. That means there is some connection there. A change took place. You want to have folk get saved and they don't get changed? That's where the problem is. You got to receive the Holy Ghost in your heart. He has to come in. Amen. You believe, but you don't receive. You got to get something. Or you got to live it on your own, by your own power. Let me move on. He says, but the book of not death, there was another book, two books. There were some books, plural, where deeds are written. And for Christians, there are things that we do are written. It relates to service. But this other book is the book of life. Ooh, it's not the book of death. Is your name in the book of life? Yeah, if you've been baptized, your name's supposed to be in the book of life, because that's why you got baptized. Is your name in the book of life? It may be on the book at the church. But he has to be in the book of life. He talks about the book of life. We're going to talk a little bit more about that book. The truth of the matter is that God writes books. Moses was upset with Israel. He told Israel, Exodus chapter 32, he said, blot my name out of the book thou hast written. Don't take it out on the Israelites. They have made a golden calf. They got assistant pastor Aaron, let them do whatever they want to do. He was a follower, not a leader. And he just let them do whatever they want to do. Anyway, let me get back. He says, Moses said, don't hurt Israel. Blot my name out of the book thou has written. Well, the fact of the matter is, God got our names when you're saved are each one is put in a book. Oh, Lord, have mercy. The fact of the matter is, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works, according to their deeds. Amen, amen, amen. So the books included their works. The books included their deeds. And so they were judged, and there's nothing they could have done to get saved. So, amen, because we're saved by grace. So, but they're going to be judged now for their deeds. Maybe they thought that this was my karma, where if my good deeds outweigh my bad deeds, I'm going to do a lot of good works, acts of kindness, and blah, 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 blah. But that doesn't work. I think J. Vernon McGee says that what we call clean laundry, God calls dirty laundry. I mean, what we call clean, God calls dirty laundry. All our righteousness is filthy rags, I think is what he was alluding to. But the truth of the matter is that he says they were judged according to their works. Now, here's what happened in verse 13. The sea gave up the dead that were in it, and hell gave up the dead that were in them. So, at death, death gets the body, and Hades get the soul. Amen. When you die, the grave, death takes your body. Death is separation from your body, physically. And the grave gets the body, and Hades gets the soul. Amen. And it says right here they gave them up because they're coming back together. Dead people. It said the sea gave up the dead. Because you see, the truth of the matter is some people are buried at sea. Wherever this represents the committal of the dead. We have funerals here and we take people to the graveyard and we do the committal service. Or we can go, some people go And what they body, their body may have been lost at sea. Wherever they were committed at, that's where God's going to go back get them at.